Hello, everybody, and welcome to Upstate On The Move, a podcast highlighting entrepreneurs who are on the move here in upstate New York. We are coming to you live from Ignite U in downtown Troy. My name is Jack Carpenter, and I'm joined by my co-host, Bob Manasir, the entrepreneur in residence here at Ignite U.
Hello, Jack.
How you doing today, Bob?
Good, living the dream.
We are excited for our guest today. It's a special guest. We didn't have him in the queue until he was the winner of Startup Weekend here at Ignite U. We got Bailey Ryan, who is the founder of Viewer. He is currently a student at UAlbany, but trying to take on YouTube with a new video hosting platform.
And throw cryptocurrency in there to really confuse people.
Yeah.
I think I get it, and then somebody like Bailey starts talking, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. So
that has to make it tough, and we'll talk about this with him. When you're trying to pitch something to an audience that they don't, a product they don't understand, you need to talk to them as if they're in elementary school.
You should always do that, though.
Like, yeah.
The first thing we teach here at Ignite U is you should not be talking over anybody's head because no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the result to them? And I think he lived it this week. So beside being stuck with us for three straight days, then he had to go do a Blackstone competition.
At UAlbany.
At UAlbany, and he lost.
Ooh.
And he was mad.
So he went from the top?
Right to the bottom.
Ooh.
But what he should have learned, and I think he did because we've talked a lot since then, is you can't use the same presentation to every audience.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't because there's different, you know, people have different understandings. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we do all summer, we try to bring it down to fifth grade level.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard it all. I've seen him pitch. Nice Tech and Ignite U have been putting on these educational lunch and learns with the city of Saratoga. We did one on blockchain, and that was very in-depth for an audience who knew it. So I've seen it from all spectrums. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, but let's see how blockchain will be affecting the future of video platform hosting.
Let's bring them in.
Alrighty, folks, we are sitting in the studio with Bailey Ryan, the CEO and founder of Viewer. Now, Bailey, in order for our audience to get a little more familiar with you, we would like to hear your elevator pitch.
So Viewer is a decentralized video sharing platform that aims to build a new YouTube on blockchain and cryptocurrency technology. What we want to do is help content creators monetize their content in ways that they see fit, you know, giving the autonomy of content freedom and revenue back to the content creator.
Now, I'm a content creator. What's wrong with YouTube?
So
that's where most people post now, and you can get paid through that. What's wrong with that?
So a lot of content creators that we've spoken to personally and we've seen be upset about online is monetization policies on YouTube. You know, you need at a minimum 4,000 watch hours, and you need to be brand friendly to YouTube. But that doesn't mean that you're brand friendly yourself. You have to adhere to YouTube's brand,
mm-hmm.
which could be a problem for a content creator who plays games all day and curses every time he dies.
Mm-hmm.
He could have millions and millions of views, but still be demonetized on YouTube.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is allow the content creator to work directly with brands to establish that relationship of advertising on their content. We also want to support direct paid subscriptions from consumer to creator, kind of like on a per content creator Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So they can rely more on monetization from their core audience as opposed to a YouTube type company.
So what sparked you to want to do something like this?
What sparked us is we were into blockchain and we were into crypto, and this was back when the market was doing really, really good. And we kind of sat down and we were like, how can we build something that is going to fill the time where we could be going out? Because we were tired of going out. We were second year UAlbany students. We were like, what are we doing? Like, we're just...
You were tired of going out.
Yeah. Well, we were tired of, going to the same bar. We're tired of going to frat house parties. And it was kind of, what are we doing? You know, we're just wasting our time here when we have such little time of limited response. We don't have a family. We don't have rent. We don't have this. We don't have that. And it was just so easy to sit down in your room till 5 a.m. and hang out with a friend and just work on something that you were actually passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Now, most people don't pursue their business because they like going out so much, but you don't like going out, so you started a business.
Yeah, I think...
You're one of a kind.
I think that's kind of unique in the way, and, the team we have now, I feel like, kind of adheres to what we're doing, and,
mm-hmm.
We're happy to have them on board, too.
So for those who don't know, you're at UAlbany. What year are you?
I'm a senior right now, graduating May 17th.
Okay. So this is what you're pursuing full-time after?
I think so. There's a lot of options right now. I'm considering a few.
Yeah.
a lot depends on some accelerators over the summer and, you know.
Yeah, you thinking of coming here to Ignite U?
Thinking about it here, you know, some Techstars opportunities.
But whatever, mostly Ignite U.
Mostly Ignite U, yeah.
Because he's sitting here.
That's yeah. Because we're pressuring him.
Yes, exactly. So Bailey, you've lived the entrepreneur life in the last week that you've been interacting with us, right? So within 1 week, you had the high of winning Startup Weekend and the low of not even placing at Blackstone Launchpad Innovation Competition.
Nice way of phrasing that. Yeah.
Thank you. You like that. So for our audience, how do you get through it? What do you learn from it? How do you move on? Give us some takeaways.
So, you know, coming at Startup Tech Weekend, I came here with the priority of building this pitch and building it really good to win the Blackstone competition. That's why, you know, it was a really driving force to get some outside perspectives, you know, pitch a bunch during it. But come Saturday, it was like, you know what, let's just try to win it. Like, let's just go all out and try to win. And, you know, Tim and Yulia were amazing. Those were the two team members we had. They were really, you know, got my head turning in ways that I haven't been thinking about in a few years, you know, filling out lean canvases and value prop canvases. So it was really amazing. And, you know, when we went to the Innovation Garage, all I wanted to do was come back here and just sit down and work on that kind of stuff with the team. So that type of environment was awesome. And then, you know, obviously winning at the end, I didn't expect to win. There were some really great ideas. But it was awesome. It was just amazing. And, you know, you get this euphoric high of, like, nothing can knock me down. And then that was Sunday. And then all week I'm like, I just won. Like, I'm going to win this Blackstone. That's why I came here, to win the Blackstone thing.
Yeah.
Pitched the Blackstone thing. And, you know, we didn't get the result we wanted from the qualifying rounds. And it was kind of just a kick to the face.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, well, we can lose. We are human. And you know what? It just makes, it adds the fire of, okay, now we need to win the next one. We need to know what we did bad in that pitch and how can we do it better? It's just as simple as how can I as a presenter be better? You know, was it, I didn't have my CTO with me who was at a hackathon all weekend. We had an error with the code. You know, stuff that we can't control, but we need to control. Kind of thing.
So I know you were mad because I spoke to you right after that.
I was mad.
PO'd. Now that you've had a few days to reflect, what are the biggest things that you learned in that kind of development? That's a week of development, right? Going from the high to the low, which is entrepreneurs live every day, right? That's what we do. We get back up and get run over again and keep smiling. So
what I learned most was, since it was just me alone pitching, I kind of reflected on, you know, how I reacted to that situation. It probably wasn't the most professional. But I also think that's what makes me try so hard at this kind of stuff, because I'm so passionate about it. When I lose, I take it so personally. And it's not a knock against me. It's not a knock against the company. It's just a knock against the pitch. It could have been off that day or any reason the stars were aligned wrong or something. Like, it could have just been anything. But
were you always this competitive?
No. I think I'm not a great sports player. I'm not good at Call of Duty. I played Minecraft as a kid. Like, it wasn't not a competitive person. But
then what is it about this idea that gets you so hyped up?
I think it can work, and I think when people don't see it, I think it's their problem. But it's really my problem because I didn't display it good enough. Either the problem or how we're solving it or what features we're bringing to the table that's going to be so useful for content creators.
Do you think it's because your product is complex to the average person? You're talking cryptocurrency and blockchain and decentralizing your pitch. Those are big words that most people don't understand. Do you think that's part of it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
But the bigger part is that I shouldn't be going over people's heads when I'm pitching. I should be so well versed in how I'm pitching to different audiences. If I go to a conference with blockchain people, I'm going to let my CTO get really down nitty gritty with the code.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going to a Blackstone UAlbany innovation competition, I got to remember that not everyone is technology orientated. You know, some pitches just, you know, go over someone's head, and whose fault is that? It's not theirs. They're the judges. It's my fault because I lost.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I, you know, build a pitch that works for everybody, but at the same time, can everybody, meaning the highest level and the lowest level of describing this technology.
Yeah.
Well, when you come here to Ignite U, you'll learn that you don't have one pitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So your pitches are very specific, and the only thing that matters is the marketplace you're talking to, the customer. So, I like the way I got that in.
I do like that. I mean, you might need to help me out because both Ignite U and NiceTech have been putting on these educational lunch and learns up in Saratoga. One of them entirely was on blockchain. And it's a lot to consume. Bob, do you understand blockchain?
I think I do, but then when somebody like Bailey talks, I was like, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Can you explain blockchain to us?
I can a little bit. I really don't want to go too deep into it.
Give us an elevator pitch for blockchain.
Fifth grade.
It's a decentralized ledger for tracking transactions. So if I were to pay Bob $5,
I did not receive $5 today for Bailey to be on this podcast.
He only received 100.
Just got to clear.
So if I were to pay him that money, it can be a public transaction. So you can go see it. So where the money leaves my hand and goes right into Bob's. So you can track it. So what it does is it adds transparency to a financial institution. But what it also can do is, and you know, one of the big use cases for it is supply chains. You know, tracking that tomato from Joe Schmo's tomato farm to Walmart Supercenter in Albany. Mm-hmm. So it can show you, okay, you got picked up this date, got put on this truck, got truck stopped for gas here, then it got to Walmart, all with time-specific stamps, and it's all on the same chain as everything on Walmart.
We already have that data, though?
Yeah, but it puts it in a decentralized way of where anyone can look
Describe
at it.
Describe decentralized, too.
It's kind of just like a peer-to-peer network. So when you watch a YouTube video, you're pulling from servers mm-hmm. that are central servers. So what this would be is like everyone can host a little piece of that content on their own. So, you know, the reason we're using it is because we can eliminate the overhead of using servers. Mm-hmm. You know, using...
But then where is the physical data being stored?
It is stored on everyone's computer who's running the chain. Little individual nodes.
And how would I add a new chain to my computer?
You don't really add a new chain. And I don't want to go like too in depth with it.
Yeah, I think we're already going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it more after, but I don't want to...
overwhelm me?
Yeah, or anyone who's listening or... I don't want to, you know, say something that's...
Well, I mean, this is the problem.
Change next week, you know, because it's such new technology.
People want to know what you're doing, and it's tough to explain.
And that's why when we pitch, we shouldn't be explaining that because, you know, me and Bob were talking earlier. It doesn't matter to 100% of the people using our platform. If it works, it runs, and everything's set up flawlessly, no one cares.
All right, riddle me this. Why do you need blockchain and Viewer then?
We need it because we can eliminate the overhead of storing videos. You know, server costs are really high. For if you want to store literally terabytes and terabytes of data,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a crazy cost.
Yeah.
But if we use this technology, we're paying nothing for storage. And what that means is we can then pay content creators a larger percentage of monthly subscriptions, of mm-hmm. advertising revenue, and still maintain enough to keep the platform going.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the reason we want to bring it in. And, you know, the reason we want to, use crypto is because it can facilitate transactions between consumers and content creators without involving a third-party payment processing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got much better just in this podcast.
Thanks. I've been thinking about it all week.
I was going to use the Ignite U process to help you along, but...
You'll find out when you come.
Looking forward to it.
So what's next up? You have a few different avenues you can take right now as you graduate, so...
Yes, I do. I mean, one of the avenues is continue education into entrepreneurship. I haven't heard back from any schools yet, but...
For grad school, you're talking?
Yeah, for grad school, get an MS in technology commercialization and entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard back, but I think I have a good shot from speaking to some people. Or, you know, take a full-time job, work on this. I don't want to call it a side gig because my job would be my side gig and this would be my main hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third option is living up here and not having a job and working on this full time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's three really difficult options, and the deadline to decide is coming up really, really fast.
Where's your heart at?
My heart is here.
Yeah.
100%. But, you know, my brain, you know, take a full-time job, get them to pay for an MBA from NYU, Columbia, Baruch, is mm-hmm. where they have already said. So where's my brain and where's my heart? it's kind of in two separate spots. And, you know, I feel like following your brain is smart, but following your heart, like if I don't follow my heart in 5 years, I might look back and someone else developed something like Viewer. I'm going to be kicking myself every single day because I didn't do it fully.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't try on both things. Okay. You can't half-ass both things. You gotta do it together. Mm-hmm. You're like one thing, go all in.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you can't bet on yourself, who can you bet on?
You know where it all starts for you?
Where?
Ignite you. There we go.
Nice. Nice plug.
Well, I hope you join us this summer for our cohort, which starts in June. And anything else? If somebody wants to talk to you, if they're a content creator and they want to, can content creators upload currently, or are you still prototyping?
We're really close to having a working website where you can upload and consumers can watch. You know, we're not supporting payments yet, just because, you know, we have no one on there, and that's not a key use for the MVP.
Yep.
But we're really close. We have like 3 to 5 content creators who we've been speaking to, or, you know, when the last time we spoke, they were ready to upload to our site. They're like, yeah, I'll send you content. I'll do this and that. You know, those are friends of friends, and that's how you build your network.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are really close, but the way you can contact us is we're on vewr.io. That's our website. You know, we're hoping to have an alpha link ready on there relatively soon. I'm not going to put a date on it because we keep blowing past the dates because it's very difficult. But if you want to contact me directly, it's Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, at vewr.io is my email. Send me any question you want. If you want to learn more about crypto, you just want to learn more about what we're doing, or, you know, you're a content creator and you want to speak about how we're helping content creators, really anything that you want to learn about, we're willing to sit down and talk about. And that's why, you know, weekends like Startup Tech Weekend can exist. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to continue that.
So who else do you need on the team? So part of this is kind of creating inbound for you. So what other skills do you need on your team right now? Because right now you're just 2 people.
Well, we're 2 people, and we have 3 really awesome UAlbany students right now. They're all CS majors, 2 Albany students and 1 former UAlbany student. They're all CS majors who, like I said, worked really, really hard last week to get this product going. And I think we got like 2 weeks of development done in like 4 days, which was amazing. But what we're looking for now is, you know, someone who can help us with marketing, develop an actual go-to-market strategy, because right now we're just saying, okay, influencer marketing. But that's such a broad term. You know, what influencers are we going to target so we can get the best audience? You know, we're obviously never going to turn away a technology guy. I'm looking for someone who understands the technology more than I do. You know, because you never want to be the person who understands the most in the room.
Like Jack.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like me.
And we're looking for, you know, if content creators want to get involved with the team, if they want to become a brand representative, or, you know, in some way get involved with what we're doing, because I'm not a content creator. Noah's not a content creator. Jared, Abe, Kyle, we're not content creators. You know, Noah takes pictures and they're really good, but he doesn't upload them to YouTube. He doesn't monetize his content.
Mm-hmm.
I've never monetized content.
Yeah.
I think I put out a video in like 2011. It's got like 10K views, but now it's off YouTube.
Do you think that puts you at a disadvantage, that you're not a consumer of your own product?
Well, no, we're consumers. You know, what you mean? Like we
users.
Watch. Like, oh, users. I think it does, and that's why, you know, customer discovery is so, so important for this. You know, so we can, because we can ideate about the problems that creators have, but until we speak to content creators, we can't say, oh, they actually have this problem.
Because
one of the biggest things we had in our heads was that they're being hurt so much by people using ad blockers. But with our customer discovery, we found that 75% of the people we've spoken to don't actually use ad blocker. So maybe that's not a key thing we should be bringing up. Because how are we going to change that? We're not going to be able to, you know, unless we put a wall in, we're not going to be able to stop people from using ad blocker.
Yeah.
So maybe don't mention it. Go another way. Another problem they're having, let's tackle that one. So that's kind of, you know, you're right. It does put us at a slight disadvantage, but
yeah,
any disadvantage you can overcome with enough knowledge and perseverance of learning your product and consumer base.
It's a good quote. I like that. Well, Bailey, thank you for coming in and talking to us. Congratulations on Startup Weekend. We apologize for the other pitch, but I think things are going in the right direction for you.
I hope so. I hope so.
And I hope you join us this summer at Ignite U.
Yeah, that would be really awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all for listening to Upstate on the Move, presented by IgniteU New York. IgniteU supports innovation and entrepreneurship across upstate New York and is powered by NiceTech. For more information about IgniteU, or if you'd like to grow your business with us, please follow us on social media at IgniteUNY or online www.igniteuny.com. My name is Jack Carpenter, joined by my co-host Bob Maniser, and this podcast is produced by Richard Lynn.